Yep, too big. That's a little tough to live up to. Hey, it's spelt right. How about that? Well, where's the horns and the party hats? It's been about like a party in here this morning. Have you felt it this morning? I mean, come on, you know? I mean, people's been dancing and the word and the anointing and all the things that's come forth this morning. It's been really good. But I just want to say thank you, Pastor Joe and Caroline, and those for allowing me to come and speak, because, you know, not every pastor wants to share, and I don't blame them. but not everybody wants to share their pulpit, and it's an honor to me that Pastor Joe would ask me to speak and come before you and share with his congregation and my brother and sister. I've been here for a while, so I guess that's okay. We have dinners together and prayer together, and you know, we have a good time together, and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But, you know, I don't know where to start. I feel like I just kind of edited about everything I had written down. I don't feel like a lot of that needs to be shared. We've went over a lot of it this morning already. But I'm going to go into 2 Corinthians and... Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you for this opportunity you've given me. Thank you for this congregation that come out today and these people, our brother and sister that come. And Lord, I just thank you for this time together. And Holy Spirit, you have been here. Just continue to open our eyes. Continue to do work in our lives and healing in our bodies. We just give you the glory this morning, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you, you know, when you get prayed for, if you don't get it instantly, don't say that's it. You're not going to get it, because I don't know how many times Caroline has prayed for my back. And every time we had prayer, it may have not been calling for me, but I'd be the first one up here. And it took time, but you know, God helped me to overcome that. And when you have back pain, it's not a pleasant thing. And I used to, we'd go to the zoo and a lot of times in St. Louis or somewhere, and I'd walk about, you know, it's a long walk just to get in there. And the time you got in there, I had to find a bench to sit down. And I'd be getting numb all the way up and down my leg. And, you know, maybe the sciatic nerve or whatever they call that. But I would have them problems, and through God giving me some wisdom on what to eat and what to drink and different things and how to take care of my body and what kind of exercise, it's really helped me to overcome. And now, you know, I could walk miles and we ride bikes and stuff, and God has really helped me through this. And so it's great. And I can tell when I'm starting to do the wrong things. I start getting that ache in the wrong spots. You know, if I drink too much iced tea when I shouldn't be, it kind of bothers me. Different things like that. So take that to heart and pray about it, and keep asking God, because he will help you. He will heal you. He will deliver you. Amen. I'm going to move up just a little bit further. Well, that's maybe back. Maybe over here. That's some bright lights, man. I tell you, that's good. I don't have no problem seeing. I just don't see you too good. Amen. Well, I'm going to go right to it this morning. Well, I guess not, but I am trying to. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We got any good readers? Hey, Glenda, you're a great reader. I want you to read this for me. I'm going to take you the mic. This is what I do in prison. I like to pull out these guys and let them be part of my service. Just start there. What version you got?
NIV.
Good. That's what we're going to have on the screen.
Okay.
2 Corinthians chapter 4.
And how far do you want
verse
me to
go? 1. I had it wrote down. Maybe not. probably down about 5. I'll just stop. You just take off there and have at it. You're a great reader.
Okay. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake.
Right there. Thank you. Give her a hand. Man. Man. It says there, if we veil the gospel, if we veil this gospel, then it is veiled to those that don't believe, that don't see. The God of this world has blinded. He has veiled, he has covered up their eyes, least that they may see and believe. It is our duty, this is my duty, this is my passion, is to go forth. Maybe not in churches so much, and what, you know, wherever the Lord, whatever he calls me to go to, that's where I want to be. I found that wherever the Lord has called me to be, I thought that God was going to set me up to be something different. But I find that sometimes it's not always what we want out of life or what we expect God to give us. But I have learned that if you want something of God, you just got to go at the ground floor with it. You've got to start at the bottom of the barrel, as they say. You've got to start somewhere and just allow God to do it. I, you know, back several years ago, I was trying to find an outreach. I was trying to find something that I was useful for, something that I could do. And I was trying to do church work and trying to do different things. And every time I would see an opportunity or something, and I'd say, well, somebody's already doing that. There's already a great group that's doing this or doing that. And I would look at this, and it just didn't fit until I run into Brother Frank and Sister D. Lester and talked to them a little bit. And I don't know. I have no idea why I ended up going. I just had to go to prison one time to see what it was like. And I went a couple of times, and you know, I didn't know kind of if that was, it was pretty nervous, pretty shaky, you know. It was pretty intimidating, and so it was several months later, and I finally decided to go ahead and go for it, and so I went in and I applied for my license, my card, my VIC permit to come in and out, and so I got that, and so. I started in, that's been 3 years ago this summer. I got my little badge that I go in and slide, and I go in and walk out through the yard and greet the man and go down to the chapel, the church, and go into the church. And they come in, we have a pretty good service and stuff, and then I go to Boonville also, go to Algoa and Boonville. And so started expanding a little bit. There was an opening, and so I took the opening at Boonville for a Sunday morning, so I started going more. That's why I'm not here on Sunday mornings so often. And so I go up there, and I minister to the men, and it's not always the greatest. It's not always the best, and a lot of times the custody officers, the ones you battle with the most, forgetful, not doing their jobs, and it's just, you know, it's just like any business that you do. There's always a weak link somewhere there that you have to fight and overcome. The devil is always using whoever he can use to disrupt or whatever. I've had him to walk into my service, shut me down for no apparent reason. And I'm like, what are you doing? And never see them again. And so it's like you're always dealing. You go to prison. You don't expect anything other than just God's presence. You just go in. You don't know. You know, they might shut you off. You might get there. It might be locked down. You can't even come in. And so you learn to deal with it. You learn to go with it. And so I did this for, a couple of years. And last November, the chaplain at Algoa, he I'd called him once about a new position there, a new ministry, and he says, we ain't got room for no more. We've got so many coming in. I've got so many VICs. We can't have another. He said, you can help out in one of their programs. You can do this or that, or you can come and help me in office. And I'm like, I don't know about that. So I let it go. This was probably way back before November. And so I kept praying, and it kept rolling around in my mind. It was always there. And so, you know, I finally decided that I would try. I'll come in and visit, you know, for a couple hours and see what it's like. And so I met in there one Friday with another guy, and we sat around the office, and, you know, hey, this is pretty good, you know. And it was kind of enjoyable. And got to talk to some of the guys and pray with different ones that come into the office. So anyway, I went back home, and it was like the chaplain sent out an email. Well, we've got a new chaplain. And I'm like, I didn't even get to decide about this, you know. He says, we got a new auxiliary chaplain. There's like four of us. He's a state-employed chaplain. We're just volunteers. There's about four other guys that do this volunteer stuff on Fridays and on vacation days. And so I said, yeah, I'll come in. I want to come in another day, though. I want to come in and sit in because I don't know nothing about this job. It's like running an office. I've got a library clerk, a reentry clerk, and then an office clerk, which is my clerk, secretary. We've got a porter, got a doorkeeper, got a card hander outer. We got about everything you can imagine. And so I end up having to supervise about 7-8 employees in the chapel office. And I'm like, you know, I'm a minister. I'm not a supervisor. But I went in and I sat in with him, and I'm like, you know, this is pretty good. The opportunity here is great. And so it was my day to come in solo. You got about 50 locks to unlock. You've got all this security to go through in the chapel. You've got all this. It's just overwhelming, the things you got to do. And he just kind of throwed me the keys and said, here, go do it. And I'm like, and so I go in and I do this solo, and it's not pleasant. I'll just tell you, it's tough. It's really tough. And I just, I don't know what to say, but it is. But there is victories. There is joy that comes through it. But when I'm done and on Friday, it's all I can do to drive home. It's tough. And I have to get up like at 5:30, get in the shower and head out and get there and open up and unlock. And then I got to deal with the Islam groups, the MSTA groups that hate me. And I'm used to being a VIC. I'm used to going in. We open up the chapel. The Christians come in. We have worship service. We get to pray and get to sing and get to preach. And we have this great time together, you know. And it's just wonderful. And for some reason, I thought being a chaplain would be kind of that atmosphere, but only all day long. Instead of 2 hours, I would get this 8 o'clock till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I would get this experience, and it's not. It's not. I go in, you know, and I get the dirty looks, and I get the hateful talk back, and I've got to be the boss. And Friday, you know, because they changed the heat index, now they have to wear back their full grays again. So I've got to tell them, go back to your houses and get your grays. You know, you can't come in the chapel. You can't wear your hats. You can't, you know, this is government policies. And if I don't hold that up, then I slack and I'm not allowed to do the job anymore. So I have to represent the office and the government and all these things that I just come to VIC. I just come to minister. And so it gets to be really tough, But I see a lot of glory in that. When I get to see and sit down with guys that's leaving and sign their papers that they're clear from the chapel and get to pray with them. Like Friday, I prayed with 4 or 5 guys that's getting ready to go home. And I ask them where they're going and what their families are like and how they're doing and what are you going to do when you get home? Are you going to change your lifestyle? And I talk to sinners and saints alike, because they have to come through the chapel to go home. And so I get some that's, I went to pray for them. Oh, I don't believe in that. Stay away from me. I don't go for that. So you just kind of minister to who you can. And so this scripture popped out this morning to me, that if our gospel is veiled, if we veil this gospel, then it's veiled to those that don't believe, those that are engulfed, that are surrounded and succumbed by Satan. The God of this world has blinded the minds. At least they should believe at any time. I use multiple translations, so I may say about anything. But if they're blinded, and if we don't share, how are they going to be unblinded? How is the veil going to come off? How is the veil going to come off their lives? We have been entrusted. We've been entrusted with something, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure that God has given us. And we present this treasure in many forms. I don't know what your form is here today. I'm not telling anybody that they need to become a VIC at a prison. I'm not telling anybody that they need to go to Africa or Jamaica or Mexico or Canada or Lebanon and be a missionary. I'm not telling anybody what they need to do, but I'm telling people they need to do something. They need to find out from God what God would have them to do in their own way. I remember when the missionaries would always come and he'd make everybody feel like they need to be a missionary. And I'm like, I don't feel like I need to be a missionary. And they would preach missionary, and because this is what they lived and this is what they'd done. But I'm here to preach today that we all carry something. We all possess something, that we could all reach somebody. And I was praying this week and I was on a prayer walk. And I was searching the Lord, you know, I was searching for something to minister on. And I'm asking the Lord, what do I say? I don't have a bit of problem to go in on Sunday morning and minister to the guys. I can just open up and relate to them and I said, but I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about people who are seasoned. Those that are elders, those that are seasoned, those that have fire, and that might not be using it. What do I say to people who come in every Sunday that's been here for 20 years or however many years? What do I say? What do I say? Because I think sometimes I try to compare myself to like Pastor Joe and different ministers. And I compare myself and I say, that's not me. I don't have maybe that teaching ability that Pastor Joe has to teach. Maybe I don't have the running the aisle and jumping on the pews like some of the tent preachers I know. They stir the people up and they can work the crowd and get them all up front and you know, and it's the energy is so high and I look at that and I say, that's not me. What do I have, Lord, that would benefit somebody else? What do I have? And the Lord spoke into me. He spoke to my heart through my mouth. And I said, all I want to do is carry your presence. All I want to do is carry your oil. All I want to do is carry. Because we can read and study. We can go to the best seminars. We can go to all these great, wonderful things. But if we don't learn how to carry the presence of the Lord, then sometimes we're just a ringing bell, a clanging, a tingling. And I go back to thinking about David, King David, and as a boy, how he learned to carry the presence of God. He learned to carry the oil. And so when Samuel came and he anointed him with that oil, David was able to carry that oil. He was able to carry the oil in a vessel that was ready and accepted for the oil because he had proven himself to God. And so we come here every Sunday preparing to carry the oil of God. We come every Sunday trying to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We come every Sunday trying to get a grasp of reality and hope for our lives. You see, I go into the prisons and on the streets and I try to carry some of that oil and presence of God, that when I come in contact or when I reach somebody, that oil can run off and change their lives. Because it's the heart of the man. It's the heart of reality that comes on in his mind. They're fighting the fight. One of the guys stood up to testify in our service and he says, I'm plagued by the haunting of my mind, of the haunting of my soul. I'm plagued by it. I killed my brother with a steak knife. The first time he ever shared it with anybody other than one person. That's reality that we deal with daily. This is the reality that we have a world full of people that are blinded. They are blinded. And if we don't have turned loose some of that upon them, they're going to stay blinded. And the world is going to be more corrupt and more corrupt. God has put us into a position, into a place that we can carry the oil, we can carry the anointing of God. He puts us in positions. At due seasons, God puts us into these positions. It may be years, days, months, years. But we don't give up hope. We don't give up hope, and we keep striving towards the mark. We keep striving towards the mark of the high calling of God that's upon our lives, because that's where our rest and our security is in Christ, in the anointing of God. When God spoke that to me Tuesday, was I was walking, all you got to do is get up and talk about carrying the oil. The peace, the calmness, the joy, the anxiety of getting up and trying to minister in a place that's got the best ministry, that's more qualified than the anxiety is gone. Because when I start talking about us and who we are and what we represent and the power that's behind us. See, when David received the anointing upon his life, when he received the presence of God in his life, there was nothing that he could not do. There was nothing he could not do. See, our faith grows and it increases in God. And when we come before God and we submit our lives, we submit ourselves, and we ask Christ into our lives, he pours out the oil. He pours out the oil. What measure do we want? He said he pours it out without measure. But how much measure do we receive? You see, we could receive a little and get a little nervous. We can receive a little more. And some of us won't want to receive too much because it starts dealing with the soul of man. Because the oil is what comes in, and the presence of God that comes into our lives that helps us to conquer our own demons. It's our own demons. And this is what we deal with. When I go to prison, this is what I deal with. Men who are trying to conquer their own demons. And they know as soon as they get out of that prison, and if they go back to where they've been, if they don't have some kind of cleansing, they're going to go right back into alcoholism. They're going to go right back to drug use. They're going to go right back to that crime. Because it's the soul of man. I remember, you know, being around a lot of the Pentecostal church years ago, that I said something, I think this Wednesday night, I said that we used to say, well, if you just quit your drinking, that devil alcohol, if you'd quit your drinking, things would be better. If you just quit your drinking. But we have to realize there's a reason in a man to cause him to want to glaze over, to get comfort from his soul. They want something to ease the pain of the sorrow and the suffering. And see, this is where we come in on the play. We come into action because we possess something in our vessels that we can pour out on each one, and we can give them some hope and some security. We don't know sometimes what we possess. We don't know what kind of power we do possess. That's why every opportunity, every service I do, I never leave without anointing with oil and praying for the guys. There's just something about anointing with oil with them guys. I don't know if it's just maybe more of a faith booster to them. But I'll pull out the bottle of oil, and I'll have the song leader to come up. And I'll say, well, I brought my bottle of oil today, and I'm going to pray with some of you. And about everybody lines up, they're ready to be prayed for. Some of them start shaking. Some of them, the tears are running. I know that God is touching them. I know that something I've done that I've carried, it's not me, but it's obedience. It's so easy to give up and run backwards. It's so easy to say, I'm not doing nothing. I'm not making a difference in life. But when I see it and I feel the anointing, then I know why I'm there. Because the pressure of getting there behind that platform on a Sunday morning is tremendous. And I know when I check the keys in and walk out those doors, Satan is waiting for me again. And I have to pressure through it. But for just a glimpse sometimes of being behind that platform and feeling the oil, the anointing of God pouring out upon some of these men and seeing their lives, and I can see them sitting there. Some of them are crying. Some of them's hearts are breaking. Some of them are wanting to go home. Some of them's wanting to have a family. Some of them's wishing their family would call them. And I see him struggling with the same struggles that a lot of times the church struggles with. They struggle with a lot of the same. They're fighting an enemy. But now they're so much more deeper into bondage. They're so much deeper. They get deeper into bondage. And it's so much harder. And it takes such a greater... it seems like it just takes so much more greater to get them lifted up and get them involved and keep them on track and keep their mind flowing and keep them... And I see the faithful ones. I see the faithful ones every month, maybe two times a month. I see the faithful ones coming back time after time. And I know that when they go home, they're going to make a difference. They're going to change their world. They're going to change the people around them. They're going to change somebody's lives. And this is what the gospel is all about. It's not maybe reaching the mass multitudes of people, but it's reaching the individual person one-on-one. The apostle Paul went to town to town. He checked in at the synagogue and usually got stoned out of it. He checked in and he tried to preach the gospel to them. They rejected him. So he'd go and he'd start talking to people on the streets. Some would believe, some wouldn't. He'd set up little house groups, and the next thing you know, he had a little church going. And after a little bit, God would say, go on down the road. And he would go on down the road, and he would meet with another place and another place. But we see the people that had gotten affected by 12 men who come up out of on the day of Pentecost, come out of a room filled with the oil of God upon their lives to change a world. What are you doing for God? What is your calling today? Have you allowed Satan to talk you out of what God has put in your heart from years ago? You've got to stand up and just keep pressing through. And keep pressing through. I don't know who that person is that God is wanting you to talk to. I don't know where he wants you to go. I'm not asking anybody to go with me. I don't even want to go there sometimes. But it's just the way it is. What God's going to do for me down the road, I don't know. We go from glory to glory, adventure to adventure. We just seen the church just increase and increase. And I think we're going to see this church increase and increase. As the days get shorter, the glory is going to get greater. We've seen some little things, but we're going to see some great things. We've had some healings, but we're going to see more healings. Right. I just kind of figured, I have this hope that the church is not going to be destroyed. I have this hope that it's going to be like when Moses took the children of Israel out of Egypt. Just like when he took them out, they spoiled the land. And when the glory of the Lord comes upon God's people, it's going to spoil Satan's plan. It's going to spoil his purpose and his plan. And as the church, the glory increases upon the church, the fighting and the warfare in the world no doubt will be greater, but the refuge inside the church, inside the body of God, the body of Christ, it's going to be greater and sweeter. The presence of God is going to be greater. How many people I've laid my hands on and not seen recovered or not known? How many people that I've preached to and think it falls upon deaf ears? How many people? But you know what? I used to let that bother me because I might not go back the next week, and at the time it felt like it was great, and then go back the next week and they might not show up for service or different things. And I know the pastors all have this problem. They all have this. They pour their lives out for a church. They pour their lives out for people. Youth leaders and worship leaders and pastors and worship pastors and children pastors. And they pour their lives out. And they have to say, "What am I doing any good?" But see, we have this hope. And we can't be deterred because we just don't see it happening the way we want it to happen. But I have this hope that one of these days it's going to be the right time, and I'm going to pray for the right person, and it's going to happen, and it's going to start multiplying, and things are going to happen, and God's going to start releasing more miracles and more miracles. So where are you going to fit into this? Are you going to take the veil off the gospel so the veil comes off the world? Because if our gospel is veiled, if we keep it unwrapped, then those around you, they will never see. They will never have a vision. They will never have a dream. They'll be lost in their own torment and their own suffering of their own minds. Man. Man, Sean, if you want to come back up and play something. And I can't finish until I pray for somebody. We've had a great service today. We've had some joy. We've had healing. But I'm speaking to that inner man today. I'm speaking to those that are bound. I'm speaking today to those that's tried and tried and tried and keep getting knocked back and feel like giving up. They're trying to do something in their lives and for God, and they just keep getting knocked back, and the veil just comes back over their lives. And every time they pick the veil up to look underneath, Satan's there to pull it back down over their eyes. I'm speaking to you today. I want to pray with you today. I want to pray with you today. You feel like you've got no hope. You've tried. You're tired of trying. Maybe one more try. Maybe one more breakthrough. The answer is on its way. Don't give up. Don't give up. If you'd like to be prayed for, couple our faith together, I'll pray with you today. We're in a battle. This is serious war. We're in a battle. You just don't realize what kind of warfare we deal with. And we just try to brush it off sometimes, but it's reality. It's reality. Praise God.